Let's lift our hands one more time. I bless the Lord. Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor. Thank you for the different things you are doing all over the world that we don't even know anything about. Can we lift our hands? And I appreciate God for what he's doing all over the world that we don't even know anything about. There's more happening in our world than what we hear in the news, than the wars and volcanoes and eruptions. Let's say, Father, thank you for the lives that are getting changed, for the families you are restoring, for the people who are getting saved. Thank you for those who are growing spiritually, finding their faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Can we clap our hands for Jesus? Sit down a minute. Let's do something. You know, sometimes we must learn how to pray about situations and events. How many of you heard about the blast in Ibadan? Okay. It was some illegal miners who put things together. My wife and I, we sat down and then we saw the situation. And I'm still trying to find the place at Ibadan. You know, I know nobody there, but I don't know that place. You know the place? I don't, that place, I'm not very sure. You know, so, but when you watch, what do you say? By the way, people are there. You see houses wrecked. You see cars. In these days, things are difficult. Are you hearing me? So how do you pray? You know, somebody say, Jesus. That's not praying. Please pass the paper across. So I want us to learn praying in this area. Can we get up on our feet one more time? This is how to pray. Somebody said, what can you pray? Yeah, Bible says men ought always to pray. It's very easy to just put your hands down and say, okay, nothing, you know. Oh, why that kind of thing happen? I want you to just ask for grace. Grace of God. Just grace of God. Let's just ask for the grace. Bible says, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Father, we ask for your grace. We ask for your grace for these people. All those who are involved, all those who lost their loved ones, who lost their properties, who lost their vehicles. Lord, we ask, Bible says, we should come for grace in time of need. We ask for grace. We ask for your help in the name of Jesus. At this time of need, we ask for help for them. Thank you for help. Now let's ask the Lord, say, Lord, I want you to comfort them and encourage them in this affliction. All those people that are involved, all these men, all these women, all these families, let's ask God to comfort them. You know the word comfort, can you open your eyes? The word comfort means strength. The word fort means fortress. That he'll be strengthened to take back their life pieces again. And do something much more with their life. Can you please say, Father, we ask you to comfort them in their affliction. You are the God of all comfort. The Father of mercies. We pray that you will comfort these men and women. We don't even know them. But we pray as people of God, praying for all nations. We ask for comfort for husbands, for wives, for children, for father, mothers. Thank you, Lord, for comforting their heart. Thank you, Lord, for strengthening them. You said you'd be our refuge and help, a very present help in trouble. We ask you to be this and more to them in the name of the Lord Jesus. We pray, Father, for them that their heart will be comforted. Now, let's also pray that those ones that have gone through afflictions who are not yet saved, they will find Jesus Christ. They will find the word of God. They will find the gospel. Can we pray that those ones who have not yet been saved, these issues, this problem will lead them to find God, will lead them to come to salvation, will lead them to get saved. Let's pray that all this will work together for the good of their salvation in the name of Jesus. Let's ask the Lord to help them to find the truth in the midst of all these troubles. Sometimes when people are in this kind of mess, they remember the message of Jesus Christ and they turn over their heart to him. Let's ask the Lord, that they will find you, they will know you, they will come to appreciate you in the midst of this mess. Lord, we pray, Father, that the gospel may be made clear to them. Can we pray that the churches around that area, the churches in Ibadan, and those who are affected, they will rise up and fellowship with the brethren. Just a minute. Open your eyes. Just a minute. You know that the moment the governor of your state, when he heard, he said, they're going to pay the bills of all those who are in the hospital. And then second, he said, they're going to house all those ones who their house were destroyed, put them in a hotel. That's what governments will do. You know, but more than that, there's also there's some Christians involved there. Let's ask for that. The fellowship of the saints will surround them. Our brethren, our people, the family of God will help them to find their feet back again and raise up. They will come to discover the love of God, the believers among them. They will come to discover the love of God, that God will go beyond what the enemy has done. This is the devil's work. This blast is not from heaven. Let's ask the Lord to just help in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for believers, rising up for believers. Thank you, Lord, for the churches where they belong, that come into fellowship with the saint and help and distribute for their necessities in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Finally, let's ask the Lord that this incident, this issue, will help the government of the state and federal to do whatever is necessary as policy to stop things like this. You know, sometimes things like this happen because people are not taking care of things policy-wise or negligent of the agencies. Let's ask the Lord, say, Lord, we ask you to use the government to intervene so such things won't be happening again. Let's pray. Let's pray that God will give the government strength, wisdom to go about this, to help and write the right policies, move the right things, set up the right agencies to make things work out in the name of Jesus. That this illegal mining won't just be coming to the city doing whatever they like. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Now somebody say, why do you have to pray? Imagine you are the one involved. There are this verse in Hebrews 13. You know, somebody said, look at Hebrews 13, verse 2. I was talking about Hebrews 13, verse 2. Can you give us quickly on the screen? I'm waiting. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. Next verse. Remember the prisoners. How? As if chained with them. Look, what is the next? Those who are mistreated. Since you yourself are in the body also. I saw people dazed. Looking, they got a house that they have thought they are going to live in that house for a long time to come. I know this kind of verses, people don't think it's in the Bible. It's in there. Praise God. Sit down. Okay. One more. We're going to pray for one more before we do other things. You know, this is how to pray. It's very easy in these days to just drop your hand and say, nothing can be done. I mean, this is hopeless. But God is walking behind. A lot of times people don't look at the news. God is walking behind. God is making things happen. You know, notice that there's been an invasion in Abuja of kidnappers. Huh? I don't know if you have heard of that. That mean invasion. And that's a consequence of something. The consequence of money and all kinds of things being done there. You know, when there's so much greed, other things follow. When you start flaunting money a lot, and you see these people that are politicians and co. It aggravates people's heart. Some of us, it will aggravate us to pray. But some others, it will aggravate them to become hopeless and become criminals. Are you hearing me? So, how do we pray for that? Let's go to Romans 13. You know, some things we can tackle by ourselves individually. You can lock the door of your house. Are you hearing me? Huh? You can put gates by your area, right? But certain things you cannot do. For instance, you can't tie the road from here to your house. That's difficult to do. You could do other kind of means to do it, the capacity. Let's take a look at Romans 13. Who can handle it over here? Look at verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good and you will have praise from the same. Can I show you something? Okay, that's Romans 13. Look at Romans 12. This will open up some things for us. Look at Romans 12. Verse 19. Okay, verse 18. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live out with all men. But some people won't live at peace with you. They're just reckless, evil, and senseless. Those words are used, they were in the Bible. I'm not making them up. Let's look at next verse. Beloved, do not avenge yourself. Have you ever heard that verse before? But did you ever hear what it says? But rather give place to what? What's the meaning of that? Hello, are we here? What did I say? What to give place to wrath? What's that? What is wrath? Answer me. What is wrath? Anger. He said, don't avenge yourself. Rather, give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So that wrath is the vengeance of God. Are you here? Are you here? Give place. How do you give place to wrath? Somebody's messing up, doing bad things against you. What is it? Now, who brings the wrath? Now, listen. God has appointed those with authority to bring wrath. Hello? So, instead of, that's why they said that when you have a person who is doing something bad, don't take law to your hands. Take them to police and announce them to the authority. You know why? Because the authority has been given the power to take the wrath of God and deal with people. God has put power of vengeance in the hands of authority. Let's read it. Let's go to chapter. Okay, so on your own part, what do you do? Next verse. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink, for insulting you, eat. That's what you should do. But let's read the next verse. Do not be overcome by evil, overcome evil with good. Let's keep reading. It's not finished now. 13 verse 1. It is just close. Keep on now. Let every soul subject to governing authority. That's the authority except from God. Authority that exists are appointed by God. Next verse, quickly. Therefore, whoever resists the authority, resists the ordinance of God. Those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Let's keep reading. Okay? For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Only by the field of authority, do what is good, and you will have praise for the same. Let's keep on reading. Next verse. For, listen, can you look up, everybody? What did he say? Let me hear your voice, everybody. For is God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. He is God's what? What is he next? An avenger. See that? Vengeance belongs to God. To execute wrath on him. So, when the Bible says, vengeance belongs to God, God has appointed the authority, the power in places to avenge and to bring wrath. Hello? 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 So, when you have people who are doing something bad, God said personally, leave the vengeance to God and give place to wrath. How do you give place to wrath? You ask God to get the authorities involved to do their job. For instance, that woman who came to the judge and said, avenge me of my adversary. That making some sense? It's clearer now. Some people think that when the Bible says that don't revenge, don't avenge yourself, they think God is just being unjust. No, he has justice in his mind to be done very well. God will revenge. God will, if someone is doing something against you or you're doing something against somebody, God's going to bring vengeance. Are you hearing me? So don't put that law into your hands. Are we here? Are we here? So the government is the one to bear the sword and avenge. So government should not go and be preaching forgiveness. Are you hearing me? Church should preach forgiveness. But government doesn't preach forgiveness. That thief beside Jesus, Jesus forgave him, but he suffered for his sin from the hand of government. Okay, so how do we pray for about the kidnappers now? We're going to ask that the vengeance of God will show up. How? That the police force, security agencies will rise up to their duty and they will take care of this in Abuja. Are we ready? Now, I just saw yesterday that IG started taking some special squad to face this thing. So, one more time, can we get up on our feet? Somebody said, Kilo Kami, Abe Kutamuwa, there's no... Remember what that verse we read? Those who are mistreated as in body along with them. Hallelujah. Pastor, I have my own problem. Why start talking about it? You know, I have my own problem. No, that's what we are here to do. Praise God. Can we lift our hands and thank God for our God? Our God is a just God. Our God is a God of love. Our God is a faithful God. Let's thank him. Let's appreciate him. And let's bring this mistreatment to God, this ransom thing, this kidnapping thing. Say, Father, in Abuja, we ask that the security agencies, we ask that the police, the armed forces, we rise, you give them intelligence of how to stop these men and deal with them. We ask that they will be the minister, they be your minister now to execute wrath in this matter. They will bring vengeance. They will stop those who need to be stopped. They will be exposed. And God, we ask that you will give the police, the security forces, all that they need to get this job. And we pray and we stop. We ask that the authority will not just be watching and let things go bad. We ask for an awakening in the authorities, in the police force, in the army. We ask for an awakening to deal with this matter. We ask for intelligence. We ask for right people to be there to do the right thing. Thank you, Father, for stepping in to execute vengeance here. Thank you for stopping this menace by the power you have given us to pray, to ask that the government will be your minister in this meeting, in this moment. So we ask that the right people in the right force, in the police, in the army will step in and hold this thing back in the name of Jesus. We know it's devilish, it's evil. Thank you for exposing them. Thank you for dealing with them decisively. Thank you for using the authorities that you have set up to handle this matter. And we give you all the glory. Can we lift our hands and say, Father, we thank you for peace. We thank you for peace. We thank you for peace, Father. We thank you for peace. We thank you for peace in the name of Jesus. We thank you for peace. Thank you for peace even in our own state here. In our own city here. Thank you for peace. We declare peace over our land, over our city, over our neighborhood in the name of Jesus. Lord, keep on giving us peace. We ask for peace for our home, for our neighborhood, for our city, for our workplaces. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sit down. Thank you. Hallelujah. You know, I don't believe in all this just prayer, making noise. I believe in, you know, that God has given us clear way to pray about matters and get them sorted out. Hallelujah. Some of your people just say, Oluwa, Jesu. No. That's hysterical prayer. Praise God. There are things God has ordained that we have to use. For instance, now, if there is no food, we don't pray, God, send food. We say, Lord, get farmers to start planting seeds. Am I right? You know, and give us rain to wet the ground so we can have bumper harvest. And yeah, that's better than just, oh God, you know. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. This God is good. Lift your hands and say, Father, you are good. You are good. And your mercy endures forever. Thank you. You're good. We acclaim that you are good. The God of the Christians is a good God. Praise God, somebody. The God of the Christians is a God of good news. Thank you that you are our God. No other God like you in the whole world. Thank you that we belong to you, that we are your people. We celebrate your goodness in the land of the living. Can we lift our hands and appreciate God? That's part of worship. Thank you, Lord. You are good and you do good. You're wonderful in all your ways. Thank you. Thank you. I'd like you to sit up and give thanks to the Lord better. Can you sit up and give thanks to the Lord? You sit up well and give thanks to the Lord. Say, Lord, thank you. I just want to appreciate you this moment. If you are standing, you can stand. If you want to sit, sit down well and say, Lord, I just want to thank you. I just want to bless you. I want to be conscious and alert that you are good to me and that your goodness will keep me and watch over me. Thank you because you are good. The Bible says, do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with the good. Say, every evil around me, I declare that goodness of God is overcoming you. The bad thoughts, the bad things happening around me, I declare that the goodness of God is surmounting you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, thank you for your goodness, Master. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, King of glory. Hallelujah to your name. Oh, we worship and adore you. We bless your name. Hallelujah. God of goodness, God of blessing, God of victory. Thank you that we belong to you. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Amen. How many of you have heard of a book in the Bible called the Book of Lamentation? The The book of Lamentation, they call it Ekun Jeremiah. The book of Lamentation was just after Jeremiah's book. Jeremiah was a prophet that was in only one city. He never traveled out until after 50 years. He was one prophet in a city for 50 years, telling them that they were wrong and they were not listening. Can you imagine that kind of ministry? Very frustrating. For 50 years, saying the same thing. Thereabout. Almost 50 years. Against these people that are just stubborn, doing their own thing. And they just preach. And said, judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. But at the same time, you know, listen to this, everybody. When God is giving judgment, he has mercy on his mind. Do you hear what I just said? You didn't hear what I just said? When God says, I will beat you, he's telling you that I'm really kind enough not to beat you if you don't do this anymore. It didn't mean I'm going to beat you. Of course, if you don't listen, you'll be result to beating. But it won't tell you, you know, you do that for your children too. You say, I'm going to beat you. You do that, tell them, because I just have beaten them. Am I right? So God kept telling them, but they were not listening. And finally, God had to come and let the city be destroyed. And Jeremiah began to cry. Can you just imagine that? He began to weep. That's what we call lamentation. So from the beginning right to the end, when the city was brought down to desolation, it was just weeping from verse 1 to the end of that chapter. But something happened. Are you here? Are you here? We're talking about living the Christian life. In the midst of that mess, there are five chapters, if I'm correct, five or four chapters. Yeah, it's five chapters of lamentation. Right in the middle of it, chapter 3, God dropped a song. Let's go down there. The book of Lamentation, chapter 3. Give us in King James Version. Verse 22. I've not given you the verse yet, so just know the verse. It's of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassion fail not. Hallelujah. Tell yourself, his mercies and his compassions are more than enough for me in this world of mess. Thank you that I'm not going to be consumed because of the Lord's mercy. And his compassion will not fail concerning me, my household, my health, my life. Can you open your mouth and say that? His compassion will not fail concerning me. Hallelujah. Next verse. They are new every morning. He said, the steadfast love of a God never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new. They are new every morning. Yes, Lord. New every morning. Great, great, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, yes, Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. That's that first love.
As love of the Lord
never stop, never cease. Yes, Lord.
His mercy never come to an end.
They are new.
They are new every morning.
Yes, Lord. They are new.
They are new.
They are new every morning. Sing one more time. They are new. lamentations. Jeremiah said that. We read verse 23. Give us again. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Next verse, he just responds like this. What did he say? The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, what will I do? You know why I'm bringing that up right now? You know why I'm bringing that up? We live in a country where things are just changing all the time. And sometimes for the worse. I mean, just today, we wanted to get some solar battery. We bought solar battery to use a couple of months ago. And that time we got around 450K. So I said, can we just add one more battery for that battery? They couldn't find it. And then this morning they called me. You know how much it is now? 900,000 naira. I will not say our troubles are new every day, but I will say they are new every morning. New is faithfulness, is compassion. Great is your faithfulness. We can rely on Him in the midst of all this. Our soul will hope in Him. The Lord is my portion. The Lord is my portion. The steadfast love. Let's sing it again.
The steadfast love.
Steadfast love.
In this life I'm living, God is your faithfulness, Lord. One more time. God is your faithfulness. Your reason and your thinking. You see, that happened to Abraham. He let God's faithfulness go past his body that's become dead and the deadness of Sarah's womb. So no matter how it looks, he's faithful. Praise God. I said, praise God. Let's just read this before we sit down. Romans chapter 8, verse 37 in Message Bible. Chapter 8, 37, Message Bible. None of this phases us because Jesus loves us. Steadfast love. That's the word for we are more than conquerors when that loved us. None of this faces us. Because Jesus what? Loves us. Let's read more. I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead, angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that Jesus our master has embraced us. Do you know? You know the meaning of that? You're going somewhere, you're following somebody with your car, the car is ahead of you, and then suddenly your car slows down and two or three cars or four cars get between you and that other car, and then you start scrambling to locate that car. Jesus said, there's nothing that's going to happen that's going to scramble, make you scramble, that will get between me and you. You know what I just said? Nothing will get between you and me. Let's look at verse 35. That's it. We're reading. Do you think anything, anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There's no way. Not trouble, not hard times, not hatred, not hunger, not homelessness, not bullying threat, not backstabbing, not even the worst sins listed where in Scripture. Praise God. Praise God. I said, praise God. So we need to live our lives. So number one, His love is enough for us. We're going to have to focus on God. I want to teach you a song that I sing once in a while. It's in 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. I've sung it before. Give us a King James version, 1 Timothy 1. I had it sung when I was in school. It was a song that I used to sing in school. 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. If you go on to King's College, Lagos, they sing it there. Ayo. What's his full name now? Olawo taught me. You know, sing the song. It says, now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be what? Honor and glory forever and ever. Miss Wichi, you know the song? Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Now unto the King. Know the meaning of eternal? Never ending. Immortal, cannot suffer death. Invisible, eyes cannot see him. And the only one that is wise, anybody else is a fool. Because every one of us derives our wisdom from him. And to him alone be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. What a wonderful, apt summary of who God is. Miss Richie, let's come and sing it. How many of you know it over there? You don't know it? Oh. Okay, come and try. Bim. Bim. Sound like a military little.
Oh. To the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Never dies. Eyes cannot see.
The Holy Wise God.
Somebody sing louder. Lift up your voice to the King. Immortal. Invisible. The only.
Wise God. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. To our God on the throne. It's a little bit military-like, like that. I'm to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. And you know, I got two things to do before I close. If seeing this God, eternal, never dying, invisible, the only wise God, the honor and glory, we must learn to report for duty with Him every day. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's learned to report for duty. There are these wonderful verses you notice in your Bible. Knowing that God is eternal, immortal, invisible, we must bring honor to Him and glory and honor forever. I want to show you a verse. 21 Matthew. Hallelujah. Are you there? Verse 28. Christ was asking, what do you think? Take a look. What do you think? To Him be honor and glory forever and ever. What do you think? Let me ask your neighbor, what do you think? A man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. Son, how many of you already call you like that? Or daughter? I do my guess. Daughter, you know. I have another friend that his father will call him Omenion. Son of man. Praise God. Omenion, slow down. Maybe the father sitting beside him. That was apostle. Omenion, you know, driving the vehicle is running, One day said they were running on the express. His father said, Omenia, slow down. Never knew there was water ahead of them. Son, go walk today in my vineyard. Next verse. And he said, answer and said, I will not. Afterward, he regretted it.
and went. He just thought that that would bring honor. He came to think about bringing a song to the father. Next verse. Then he came to the second and said, likewise, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he said, I go, sir. But he did not go. What is these two verses saying? Our worship must go beyond our mouth. Our worship must also culminate in serving God. If you actually honor him. You know the first one. Hallelujah, God, oh, hallelujah, I honor you. And God didn't do what he said he should do. Jesus said to the devil, when the devil said, bow down, he said, you shall worship the Lord alone and him you shall serve. Remember that? Let's go and see that. Matthew 4. Is it verse 7 or 8 or 9? Let's find out which one. Them. Matthew 4, verse 7, verse 8, verse 9, verse 11. Okay. Verse 10. Give us verse 10. Say to him, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall what? Let me ask your neighbor, do you worship God? And do you serve him? Our worship will never have any meaning if you don't serve him. For instance, you know, we came to worship God, but we were serving in the midst of the worship. They were there on the keyboard. They were there singing, leading us. And they show up faithfully every week, serving. We don't force them to come. But they just show up. Let's clap for them. But every one of us must think of serving. You know why? Because when you serve God, God will honor you. John 12:26. Jesus says so. John 12:26. Quickly. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, what is it? Him, my father will what? Ask your neighbor, is God honoring you? Or ask him like this, will God honor you this year? Oh, that's important. You know, I don't love human honor because it doesn't last. They give me a plaque, I take it home, put it on my stuff. Huh? They clap for me, that's the end of it. But when God honors you, it stays with you for a long time to come. Hallelujah. God will give you honorarium. That's the price for honor. Or that's the benefit of honor. If anyone serves me, him, my father will honor. Can I ask you a question this year? Will you serve God? Will you serve God? To serve God means to do something of duty toward God. You're going to have to do something, not just only just be there. They say, sir, go walk in my vineyard today. He's there, but he's not doing things. So he said, go do something. He said, I will. Didn't go. He worshiped, but no serving. The first one didn't serve, didn't worship. He just like, oh God, I don't have time. But he said, change his mind. Finally serve. I want to read something before we close. I hope I'm able to do everything else I need to do today. Let's go down to Luke 12. Christ was talking about serving there. He was talking about seeking the kingdom of God. He will meet your need. He'll take care of you. But after your dad takes care of you, as you grow older, you must start doing things in the house. Am I right? Am I right? Let's look at Luke 12, 35 in NLT. It'll be easier to read there. NLT. Luke 12, 35. Be dressed for service. You know, this is what we think it means, dress up for Sunday service, all right? No. And keep your lamps burning. Be dressed for service. You know, sometimes you change your clothes to go and do something. Are you dressed for service? Are you there that you are always, say, with your lamps burning, you can see clearly? This year, I pray you'll be dressed for service. Not just physically dressed for Sunday service. Let's keep reading. That's comma. As though you are waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. That's what people do those days. Those when they serve their masters. Their master goes out, they are already waiting. Then you'll be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. Are you at that place of service? You know, come to church. Are you alert? Are you thinking about God? Now you want him to meet your need. You want him to take care of you. But are you thinking of, Lord, what can I do? What am I looking for? Point of service. See that word? He's waiting for his master. He's ready to open the door when he arrives and knocks. We never know when God will say, do that for me, do this for me, move this one for me, give that person something, pray for that person, handle that person. Don't say that. Let's keep reading. The servant who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth. He himself will sit them, put on an apron, and serve them. See, God's serving you. How many of you want God to serve you over here? I can say that. God wants to serve you. He wants to bless you. He wants to take care of you. But he wants you to also, first of all, do that for him. You know that boy, after coming back from the farm, from the vineyard, and his labor very well. Then he will say, oh, come on, let me serve you. Come and eat. Oh, I got this ready for you. Thank you for working today in the farm. And, you know, sometimes you just take some money out and bless, you know. Hallelujah. May God serve you this year as you serve him. He said, I will spare those ones who serve me. Sometimes God won't let things happen to you. He won't let things happen to you because you are serving. Pastor, but I'm quoting the promises. That's true, it's fine. But listen. Quoting the promises are important, but are you serving? For instance, the only person that was raised from the dead in the book of Acts, Jesus raised people from the dead, children, friends, but there was only one raising from the dead in the book of Acts. The other one that was sleeping, they said he was not dead. Said that one just fell down, pick him up. But the only person who that was raised from the dead in the book of Acts was a woman that was serving. That was thinking of widows and sewing clothes for them. And when she died, God so much this such a way that Peter was around the area where he was, where she died. And the whole church sent for Peter. Said, come down quickly, don't be delayed. And he came down and he went to the upper room where they laid her body. Bible said, widows and women, older women, walked into the door. They were in the same room where they put that woman on the bed, dead. They just washed her, prepared her. And here came these widows. They were weeping all over. They were crying. They were bothered that, oh, she's been there for us. But Peter said, everybody go out. And Peter knelt down and prayed. I knew what he prayed. Father, she's serving you. We can't afford to lose her now. Come, if something happens to you today, will anybody miss you in church? Let's go further. If something you have to travel, will somebody miss you in a week for serving God? When I was coming, we were turning around that corner, and I said, I heard three words. No, when we were about to leave home. Is it? Yeah. Just about to start the car. I had to quickly take out my pen and start writing. I heard these three words. Maybe it will be a blessing to you. I scribbled it down on paper over here. He said, our serving God, we must be determined. Number one, determined. It can't just be casual. You have to make up your mind, I'm going to serve God. Are you like that? It's not convenient. Sorry to say this. You can come to church anytime, but are you serving God? If you are not present, will something be amiss? Will somebody ever cry over your life outside your parents? So number one, to serve God, we must be determined. And not only to be determined, you must be deliberate. That means you must wake up every day, that whether weekly, it must be a timetable for you to serve God. For instance, if you are coming to clean the hall, you know, Saturdays, I'm coming here to clean. Saturdays must meet you here. That's deliberate. It won't happen by itself. You are serving in this church, you go down there, you do something deliberately. You give to the poor, you make it deliberate, regularly, every, not just only once in a while when we make announcement in church. You become deliberate about it. You on purpose choose to be here to serve God in the choir, to serve God as instrumental, to serve God in prayer. Whatever area you are serving, you determine to serve. For instance, now, see me, I come here Tuesday, Friday, Sunday. I could be anywhere else where I get more money. But I choose to serve God. Not only that, I also have things I do deliberately when I wake up every day. What do I do, whether with my money, with my life, with my time? I don't want to go to heaven. All that I've done in this life is just about this life. I wish I'd known more things that I'm in my 20s, my 30s. I said, I've got them, but I wish I could have done more so that I can, because eternity is around the corner. On, now, on to the King, eternal, immortal. And what will count then is what we do in serving Him. Our works will follow us. I said, number one, be determined. Number two, be deliberate in serving God. And number three, in this hard time and things like, you have to decide and be decisive. I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to take that money out. I'm going to take that time out. I take that my talent and use it for the glory of God and for the blessing of humanity. Are we here, everybody? Timetable yourself. I'm going to be doing this regularly. Don't just who's in and who's out, whatever we give you to do. Any work that's not scheduled, that is not deliberate, will never be thoroughly well done. I'm not asking you to serve God because we need you in church. You know what, in this church, if you don't serve, somebody else will serve. For instance, if I don't come, my wife will preach. Prof will preach. Professor Day will preach. Professor Kennedy will preach. Huh? Just a phone call. I'll say, Prof, please be there. And I'll go and sleep. Am I right? And they'll serve. They will do what they need to do. Huh? So, even pastor here can be replaced if he's not here. Thank God for Sister Uchi. She's always here around. Let's clap our hands for her. Listen to us in worship. All this year. They're deliberate. Determined to do that. And you know, every time you come, it's not dry for her. Huh? I mean, every time I put on my live stream, if I'm not here, and I listen to her worship, it's always fresh. That's some determination. Am I right? It just didn't happen by, okay, what's by, okay, microphone. Come on, sing around. No. That's making it a duty to serve God. And God has honored her with her daughter singing along with her. Can you clap your hands for Jesus for that? Yeah. She's not doing like this every day. Oh, mommy, blow out. Mommy, blow out. Mommy, blow out. Mommy, blow out. You hear me? Whoa. Tell your neighbor, it pays to serve God. Hallelujah. I want to close. My time is up. But I must do something. Is that material ready? Balumi, are you around? Yes. I want to read something to us, and I want you to go back home and check it up very well, because I put the book there for you. When Jesus was here, I want to close that now. When Jesus was here, people got healed, like the woman of the issue of blood, centurion, but those ones are outsiders. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? People got healed. The woman of the issue of blood, the madman gathering, Jairus. They all came. They were not really the disciples of Jesus. They came from outside. Am I correct? How will the disciples themselves get well? Are you hearing me? Please, are we here, everybody? Are you here, everybody? You know, the disciples of Jesus are active followers of Jesus, like Peter, James, and John. We never heard of Peter, James, and John being sick. Of course, we heard about the mother-in-law. Christ just went to the house. Even the mother-in-law got healed. There was this aura, this shadow of healing, because being around Jesus, they were touched. So, how the disciples get healed? I believe that their steadfastness in listening to Jesus and in working with Jesus brought them to live in good health. Now, one of the greatest reading I ever done on health, I want to share it with you, a few pages. What is the best way for a believer to get well? It's from a book which I read years ago. And that book has never left me. It's over 30 years ago I read the book, almost 40 years. And I saw how believers, Christians, will get well. Now, people will get well by all these other methods. But for believers working with Jesus, let's go. Are we ready? Can we read it before we go home? It's actually a third chapter in a book titled God's Medicine. Let's read it, if we can. God's medicine to be applied from where? See, the physical medicine here is applied from the bottle. The woman said, if I touch the hem of his garment, came from outside. Let's keep reading. God's medicine, like all his provisions, salvation for instance, is to be believed and applied from the heart. Where should it be applied from? So, your healing does not come actually from just saying something. It must come from your heart. Let's keep reading. What often happens though is this. People read certain promises. Perhaps they can even quote them and they endeavor to act upon them without really getting them into their spirits. Did you hear that? It's more in their head than in their heart. That's why they don't see the manifestation of the healing in their lives. It's more in there. It's not, you see, until you take drugs and goes inside of you. If that drug enter only your mouth, it stays there. It won't help you. Am I right? Let's go on reading. This is what blessed me more than anything else over the years. I kept this over the years. I always do it this way. Look up. I don't pray about something just right away. Now, give us an example. For example, in March of 1952, I was in a meeting in Texas City, Texas. Pat, our daughter, was a little girl at the time. Let's keep reading. She had developed a growth, not a style, but a growth of some kind near her eye. Before I left home to travel to the Texas City meeting, I lay hands on her and prayed. Can you make it bigger? But if not, don't worry. We keep on reading. But when my wife wrote me on Monday, the growth was still there. I lay hands. She wrote, Pat want to know what to tell the nurse when she comes around to check her next Monday. He prayed, lay hands. That nothing happened. Let's keep reading. Once a month, a nurse came around to the grade schools and checked their eyes and ears. Pat knew that when the nurse found that nurse, she would ask if he had taken her to the doctor. And we hadn't. So all Pat wanted to know was, what am I going to tell the nurse? So my father had prayed, lay hands on me. Let's keep reading. I received the letter, not SMS, those days, that's a long time ago. And I knew I had a little time before I had to answer her. I pushed it out of my mind until after the evening service, so my attention wouldn't be divided. Let's keep reading. That night, after the service, I returned to my hotel, listened to the news from 10 to 10:15, turned off the radio, and at 10:15, I pick up my Bible, and I said to myself, now follow now, I'm going to read the Bible for an hour on the subject of healing. Now, this is a man who has been teaching on healing. But even if you are the pharmacist, the drug won't help you until you swallow it. Are you hearing me, somebody here? Just because you're a pharmacist, that drug won't help you, am I correct, until you swallow it yourself. Let's keep reading. I dare say I could have quoted 90% of all the verses in the Bible with respect of healing. They were all marked in my Bible. But I started with the book of Genesis and read these verses very slowly, right on down through the New Testament. Slowly, applying the draw. Same thing you can do with finances. You have a debt, you have some kind of things. Let's keep reading. At 11:15, 1 hour later, I closed my Bible, turned off the light, and said, I'm going to lie here an hour and meditate on this scripture I just read. Keep on reading. Roy Hicks pointed out that one meaning of the word meditate in the New Testament is to mutter. Say it half aloud. That's what I did. There in the night time in bed, I muttered those scriptures to myself. Just because you know it won't feed you. Like now, I'm hungry now. I know how much the food is at that hotel, that restaurant. But not knowing it won't feed me. I have to get up, go down there physically and eat the food till I'm full. Then I can get up and go. Next verse. Next line. At 12:15, I said to myself, I'm going to sleep for an hour. Then I'm going to wake up and do what again? Then I will sleep an hour and wake up and do what again? Doing, letting my heart take hold. You can do this. See, just because red gifts have been given to you, it won't bring the money. I learned this about 40 years ago. Changed my life. Let's keep reading. And I did that. The Holy Spirit dwells in my spirit. Your body needs rest and sleep. But really, your spirit doesn't. I have an alarm on the inside of me. I just said to my spirit, an hour, my spirit will awaken me. Then I will meditate on this, just on healing for an hour. I just say it to myself. I just look at each verse slowly, deliberately. And just as if I've never read it before. Like when you take that anti-malaria, it's as if you've never taken it before. Let's keep reading. What I needed right then was healing for my daughter. There was no use meditating on anything else. No use in thinking about scripture that promised finances. That's not what I needed right then. Let's go on. I did that right on through the night. And the next night, I did the same thing. That's why a lot of this night vigil, I don't believe in them. A lot of this night vigil just making noise to God. Draw kinds of things. They never, if I have a night vigil, this is what I'm going to do. We're going to see church, we're going to pray, we're going to pray. One sister was sick like that years ago in our church. I prayed for her, she didn't get well. So I went to her house. You know, I wish I had more time to do that today. Just sit down beside her, she was rolling in pain. I opened my Bible, read some verses, then we pray. Then I read a little bit, pray. She just screamed, ah! As it got well, I got up. Went to my house. This same thing. After the news, pick up my Bible, read through scriptures on divine healing slowly, meditate on an hour, sleep on an hour, meditate on an hour, sleep on an hour, run through the second night. Let's keep reading. Then on Thursday afternoon, I wrote my wife. I said, in the letter you wrote me Monday, you said, Pat, I wanted to know what to tell the nurse. Let's keep reading. I didn't tell her what to tell the nurse. You see, I had taken the word of God and built it into my spirit. And I didn't go on what I knew about it in my head. You see, some of you over here, you will never submit to your husband. Because to you, that word submit to your husband, it means something else to you that your mama told you. It won't work. You didn't know the word submit to me. You knew what it said about submission. But when you spend time meditating on that verse, you don't submit. Same thing with loving your wife. You have to sit down there and look at that verse. It dawns on your spirit. Go on, next one. Take a look. Then I wrote, you tell Pa that dad is said she's healed. And I know in my heart that she's healed. Just as well as I know in my head that 2 + 2 = 4 and 3 × 3 = 9. And that's all I wrote about it. My spirit loaded, answered back. Let's keep on reading. You got to know God's word in your spirit. That is real faith. Just like you know other things in your head. Let's keep reading. My wife told me later that she got the letter, read it, then put it aside till Pat came in from school. Pat was outside playing dolls when my wife remembered the letter and called her inside. What did he say? And Pat, we got a letter from Daddy. And here's what he said. You tell Pat that Daddy says he's healed. And I know all that he said before. Next part. Next one. My wife said, Pat stood there a minute as if she were thinking about it. Then they said, if Dad says so, if so, she turned around. Like it was Monday, remember? Monday's coming. Didn't talk about that Monday. Talk about that stuff. What about that symptom? What about that? You see, this is your head. When you start worrying about symptom, and what am I going to do? What am I going to do? That's what you can see and go by. Am I right? But something else is in your spirit. For instance, if you say to the doctor, you know, I'm taking my drugs, but I'm still feeling, you say, keep on taking your drugs. Am I right? Let's keep reading. By Monday, the growth had disappeared. You don't talk to them about the nurse anymore. Still don't tell us anything. And I never did answer that question. Let's keep reading. Get the word of God, God's medicine, built into your spirit. Is that the end of it? A wife may know about cooking. She'll be able to sit down to a table with nothing on it and explain to her husband all about a delicious recipe, every ingredient in it, and just how to prepare it. But just because she knows all that won't put anything to his stomach. Just knowing that won't go back. Just knowing that won't put anything in her stomach. Next verse. Next one. So you have to cook up the dish. You know how to fix. And then you have to eat it. Even prepared and sitting on the table, you're talking about it, won't do anything for you. That's how it is with the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's right there, and we'll talk about it. We discuss scriptures, we quote them, but it doesn't get in us. It doesn't get down into our spirit like it should. That's why it doesn't work for us.
Pastor, honestly, I don't have time for that.
Now, you go to doctor, I need some help. I have some of these things. Give me some drugs. And he said, take this 3 times daily. Oh, I'm working where I cannot take my drugs. The Holy Spirit say, bye-bye. Stay with your sickness. Am I right? You take that drug steadfastly. You take a break. Say, am I being drug? You take it steadfastly. To keep your faith strong, keep feeding it. You know what I do with that? So, to preempt issues, every week I take a day for health to relax and put something in my spirit. And when I have any challenge on the area of health, instead of just kind of doing like everybody does, you see, listen, I am in the body of Christ now. I'm not an outsider. You see, the body of Christ himself gets well, not with his own clothes. You hear what I said? Hallelujah. You bless? I will tell folks that just because I ate whatever I meant you eat, once doesn't mean I'm going to say I know how to taste. I have one, I'm never going to taste another one again. You eat food regularly to keep going. Let's stop it there, thank you. Okay, no, I will eat once. I will eat one every chance I get. Continual feeding, exercise of your body keeps it strong. Continual feeding the spirit, keep it strong. Let's stop there today. Thank you. Are you blessed? So that's it. You can shut down. Thank you. Hallelujah. Tell yourself, the Lord is the Lord of my spirit and of my soul and of my body. Whatever is wrong in my thinking, in my feeling, in my attitude, whatever is wrong in my body, the word of God in my spirit can fix it. Nothing is impossible. I can fix it with the word of God. I tell yourself, I will attend to God's word. I'll put it in my spirit. And I will stay with it till the fruit comes out. And great shall be the reward in my life. In Jesus' name. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, if you don't have the book I've given you before, I'm going to give it to you. That book has stayed with me small like this over the years. particularly the third chapter. And then the last part of that book, they put verses of healing there. I just take it. I just feed on it. Just steadfastly keep doing that. Sometimes in the night season, I just open it. I lie down on my back. My mind will say, "You know it already. You know it." I said, No, I don't know. That's not what I need. I need to have it in my spirit." Amen, somebody. Can we go home? Come, listen. You are the Lord that healed me. Part of putting things in your spirit is to sing it. Hallelujah.
You are the Lord.
Sing it as if you are singing it to the Lord.
Me.
Yes, Lord.
You are the Lord, my healer.
You sent your word,
you
so I received the word.
Sent your word
and healed. What they do, that drug you take, I hope you know it's a poison. Every drug you take is a poison. That's why they warn you, don't take too much of it. You know why? Every drug you take is an attack on the sickness. It goes to attack and fight that sickness. That's why they ask you to take it for 14 days, 21 days. Why? Because it has to subdue that thing. In the same vein, God's word is an enemy to whatever is doing you. And when you keep it there, it will subdue it. But give it time to subdue it. Amen, somebody. Get up on your feet. You are the Lord.
You are the Lord.
Now, wait. Of you, you don't sing because I'm not sick. I'm not sick. Don't wait till you are sick before you start talking about health. Close your eyes. You are the Lord. As we go home.
That he led me.
You are the Lord.
You are the Lord.
You are the Lord,
my healer.
My healer.
You sent
your word.
You sent your word.
And
healed my disease.
Yes, you are the Lord.
You are the Lord,
my healer.
My healer.
One more time. Doing this in the middle of the night or during the time, you see a spiritual battle taking place. For instance, you know the verse that says, by stripe ye were healed. Take a look on it. 1 Peter 2:24. It says, by stripe ye were. That means past tense. And then your mind comes up and says, but you are not feeling better. Oh, you can see all the symptoms. See that by his wounds, by whose stripes you are healed. Now I want to help us with that. See, why healed? And then I'll take that verse in the night. My mind will say, are you sure? Can't you feel the symptoms? Then I have to superimpose that, the past tense, upon the present future threats before me. And then I take that by stripes, you are. What about this? This can lead to that. No, you are. And I have to now take it as past tense. You are. If you are, I was. Praise God. And if I was, I am. Lift your hands and say, Father, thank you that all you want me is that I live and live more abundantly. And I will live this year more abundantly by the reason of your word in my heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. When we're praying, I just felt somebody here, you've been feeling weak in recent times. Just been feeling weak. You know what you need to do? Just go to your Bible. Psalm 37. The Lord is the strength of my life. Fasten yourself on that. Maybe the next couple of days, just read that every day. The Lord is the strength of my life. And say, it's my physical strength. It's my mental strength. It's my spiritual strength. Just tell yourself and take it in. Hallelujah. And strength will come bursting in. And the year will be glorious for you in Jesus' name. Let's share the grace together. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The love of God. Oh, you see, I got more things. But Pastor, when I'm sick, what should I be doing? You shall serve the Lord and he will bless your food and your water. And let me tell you, one of the major reasons people don't get well, but they don't serve the Lord. You know, you've been there now. Sometimes you don't feel all right to come to church. Am I right? You just come and then before you know it, you're better off. You come serve. Huh? Oh, I don't have time. The mother of Peter's wife, mother-in-law, she was lying down sick. Bible says, when Jesus touched her, she got up and served him. They asked one girl, why do you want to get well? She said, so I can play tennis better. Let's share the grace together. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Tell you what, have a wonderful, wonderful life this year. Good health and plus more this year. Amen.